You know, today we're used to reading about and hearing revolutions, the revolutions of history. There's revolutions in the world every so often, sometimes quite often. Different types of revolutions, different revolutionary inventions, revolutionary movements. Politics has all sorts of revolutions. Governments are overthrown with revolutions. But I like to focus on one of the first and undoubtedly the most important revolution that ever took place in the history of the world. And that revolution was started by one man. Well, I shouldn't say by one man. By one man and his wife. One man and one woman. And they practically single-handedly revolutionized the world. And the world today is the way it is. Well, I don't want to blame them for all the bad things, but this revolution has reverberated through history and has changed the face of every society practically throughout human history. Of course, the two revolutionaries that we're talking about are Avraham Avinu and his wife Sarah. They revolutionized the world. Why? Because in their generation, the world had already completely forgotten about the fact that Hashem created the world. Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden. Then he left Gan Eden, but he still had this recognition and realization of the Creator and the connection with Him. Generations went down from there until the time of Noach. And at that point, the world was in such a decadent situation. The morality of the world was so broken, was so low that the world had to be restarted again through Noach and his family. But by the time of Avraham Avinu, the influence of Noach, and specifically his son Shem, had dwindled to the extent, yes, there was a Bis Medrash Shem Va'Ever, where they were studying Torah, whatever was available to them. I don't know exactly. But Lemaisa, the world had already forgotten that there was a Creator. And this one man and his wife were able to influence the world that there's a Creator, there's one God. You don't have to search to the stars and the sun and the moon and the statues and the who knows what else they were looking towards to try to find out who could have made this world, who could have put us here, what is this world all about. Maybe one of these could eventually tell us what we're doing here so we wouldn't have to roam around aimlessly. And they sent a very simple message. There's a Balabira. There's a Creator. He created the world. Created the world for a purpose, and we're going to introduce you to Him and to understand what it means to live in a world that was created by one loving, caring, kind, dedicated Creator. How did Avraham Avinu actualize this revolution? What did he do? Was it preaching? Got up on a soapbox and it got all groups together. You know, they didn't have mass communication in those days. They probably didn't even have any amplification in those days. Then certainly not what we have. And just to lecture? No. Chazal tells us he did it through chesed. The way he influenced people was by doing chesed, by letting them know how much he cared about them, how much he loved them, how much he wanted to help them, and to actually help them. He had a house, which was a house of Hachnosas Orchim. Anybody who was traveling was welcome in his house. Chazal tell us that he had four doors from each direction so that this traveling guest, who was so tired and worn from traveling in the desert, would not even have to walk around to the other side of the house to get to the door if he was coming from this direction. He would have a door in every direction. And his house was open. when the Malochim came, we read in the next parsha, and he thought that they were just travelers. He didn't know who they were, and he prepared food for them. He was an old man. He was just after his bris milah, but he ran. Imagine that old 99-year-old man who was just 3 days after bris milah, which is the most difficult day, and he had servants and wealth and everything, running himself el aboko rotzav rohom, because he had to do the mitzvah himself of achnasas orchim. And Chazal also tell us that he would give people food and drink, and he would tell them, thank the one who created it. Make a brocha. And that way, through his chesed, he was able to influence people, to open their eyes, and to get them to realize that there was a creator, that there's a purpose. We have to live a life according to a highly elevated moral standard. And that was his influence. And that influence is the influence today in all of the monotheistic religions, those religions that follow in this concept of one all-powerful God who created the world, and that's most of the major religions, that all stems from the influence of Avraham Avinu. But what's very interesting is that unfortunately the religions that accepted Avraham Avinu's influence and recognized and believed in and worshipped the one God, even with some variations maybe, but basic concept was there, but they didn't get the message that the way to convince people is through chesed. They tried through force, and force doesn't work. You can force a person to do an empty action, but you can't force a person to recognize truth. You can't force a person to be emotionally, internally, in his heart, committed to serving the Creator. That's something that a person has to be motivated for. And when we do acts of chesed, and we show that those that recognize the Creator have transformed themselves into these superhuman beings of kindness and caring and devotion and midos rachnosas orchim and chesed, that's what inspires people to think and to consider. And of course, once they begin to think and consider, they recognize that there is one Creator who controls the entire world to this very day. And that's, of course, what we know to be so true. But unfortunately, the chesed part of it, the world's religions didn't always get. And therefore, there were so many battles that were fought to convert people to the religion. With war, with the sword, with the stake, with whatever weapons they had available. And of course, that doesn't really work. And I think that even in our world today, we have to realize that it's not through force that we will convince people to change the direction of their life. It's only through goodness. And I want to share with you just one little story. Many years ago, I was staying with my young family in Eretz Yisrael, in Sanhedrin Murchevet. And for Shabbos, we were going to my in-laws, which was in the center of Yerushalayim. And we got in a taxi, and the taxi was going from Sanhedrin up Bar Ilan. And Bar Ilan was always, well, maybe still is, a place where there's a lot of stone throwing on Shabbos when cars go by and they're Machal Shabbos. Kids, you know, inappropriate as it is, nobody ever sanctioned such response to Chilul Shabbos, but unfortunately things sometimes get out of hand. And so I wanted to engage this non-religious driver in conversation about it. So I asked, are they still throwing stones here on Shabbos? And he gets very agitated and he says, "Ma'achpat le mashenil sebe Shabbat? What's it their business what I do on Shabbos?" He says, you know, what do they want? What are they doing? And I told him the following, and it shocked him. I said, you don't disturb my Shabbos if you're Mechalel Shabbos, if you drive here, I feel bad for you that you don't have a Shabbos. And the guy was like, a whole different approach. Now, I must admit, the stones do not send that message. That's for sure. And it's unfortunate that some people take to that. And it's not really people. It's mostly kids that are more instead of playing ball on Shabbos, they throw stones, you know, something like that. But whatever it is. But this approach that you care about me, you care if I have a Shabbos, that's what bothers you? And my kids to this day have a taina to me. They said, if we wouldn't have gotten out in the center of town, if we would have driven around with this guy for another hour or two, we probably would have been religious today. Maybe he is, I don't know. But this perspective, if we wish to influence our children, if we wish to influence anyone to recognize and to internalize our values, our recognition of Hashem, our connection to Hashem, and realization of our responsibilities to make ourselves into the best possible human being as directed by Hashem so that He could bestow upon us more and more and more chesed. The approach is with kindness. The approach is with love. The approach is with sensitivity, not with force. Force rarely gets any sincere or any lasting accomplishments. I just thought I would share that message with you today, that revolution, I guess you could call it a revolution of kindness, a revolution of love. That's the kind that we need today too. And I think today as we grow and we deal with the world and our own families, if we wish to influence anyone, that's the influence. The influence of force is so limited in what it maybe can do for a short while. The influence of love, the influence of respect, is what makes all the difference. And just maybe to leave you with one more story. There was a guy in a school, I think it was like a junior high school level, who was constantly, every single day, disturbing the class to the extent that they had to ask him to leave every single day. Send him to the principal's office. The principal gives him the same speech every single day, goes back to the class. The next day, it's the same story. And this went on for months and months and months. Finally, before Pesach, the same thing happened. He goes to the principal's office, and next day, an angel. Until the end of the year, they couldn't believe what happened to this kid. He didn't disturb. He was learning. He was involved. He was something very strange must have happened. Finally, someone asks the principal, what did you say? What did you do different? What happened? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I did the same thing, the same stupid speech that I made every single day. I made him that day too. And everything changed. So he calls in the kid. He says, what was different? What happened? Well, all of a sudden you changed. He says, I'll tell you what happened. You were making the same speech that you make every day. And all of a sudden the secretary walks in and says, there's a very important person on the phone that must speak to you now. And you answer her and said that I am speaking to the most important person in the world and I cannot interrupt for that individual. That's the whole difference. Just this sense of respect, just this sense of granting me that validation, that feeling that I am so important, just this sense of kindness and goodness made a complete and total transformation of this wildest of kids on a dime, all of a sudden, just because he was treated in a very positive, respectful way. That's the message. I think that's the revolution that Avram and Sora introduced in the world, and we're all still benefiting from it today. But let's keep in mind how that revolution came about. And if we wish to maintain and advance it further, it has to be with the same kindness and goodness that Avraham and Sora performed in their day.